Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello again and welcome to episode 3 of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Yes, that's right. I had to get a self-plug in there somewhere, and this is a Coronation podcast, but it needed a home. It needed a home just to hang out and live and survive, and because I have a podcast network, I said to my co-host and friend Brian Toll, I said, why don't we just put it on Jittery Monkey, JM for short, and he rolled his eyes and reluctantly agreed. So, when we get to our artwork, and Brian, you've seen the sketch, you know a little bit about it, it's going to look sweet, but it's going to have that Jittery Monkey theme by my good friend and wonderful, talented artist. He's drawn for Marvel and DC and action figures, things like that. Mr. Joe Dodd is continuing his line of the Jittery Monkey logos. And anyway, let's move on. Brian, I've rambled for a few seconds here, but welcome, episode 3. How are you feeling, sir?
Down to my last liter of Mountain Dew. I don't know what to do with this.
You know what you need? Ski.
Well, I don't have that in Texas, so.
But you can get it. Actually, this is the truth. Are you near a Cracker Barrel?
I am, actually. You know what? What's funny is we went there like what? Oh, it was like a month ago, and I didn't see any there. I know what you're talking about.
But mm-hmm. You can like get like these vintage glass bottles. We went to Cracker Barrel Sunday morning, my wife and I did, and our son Garrett after church, and there was a lovely couple, and they were looking at the soda selection there at Cracker Barrel, and they happened to mention Ski, and I just happened to be standing there, so I visited with them a little bit about Ski, and the husband, he was a bit more familiar with it, but he said to his wife, he said, you like Mountain Dew, right? And she said, yes. I said, if you like Mountain Dew, you're going to love Ski. I stand by it. Folks, if you like a good citrusy soda, you're not going to find anything better out there than Ski. You can find them on Twitter at my Ski Soda, Ski Citrus Soda on Facebook. Enjoy Ski. We're doing a lot of – we're not getting paid by Ski. Or Cracker Barrel.
Some product out of this crap.
Yeah, I get product every day. Fortunate enough to, I get 32 to 44 ounces of Ski every day, and it's just so good.
Some people say we have kidney problems because of this, but I say no.
Who makes these claims?
Well, someone comes to me, you know, and I drink a fair amount of Mountain Dew. I don't disagree with that. Guy walks up, you ever had diabetes? And I'm like, no. Gonna drink that. You're gonna keep going as he swiggles Dr. Pepper down and then shoots it with a nice fresh sweet tea. And I'm like, going, what?
Pot, okay. Meat kettle. Yeah. See, I mean, I'm not saying it's better nutritionally, but Ski is made with pure cane sugar, so it's not high fructose corn syrup. So it's It is better. Let's just face the facts.
You know the only soda I know that is made with that regularly and no one says anything? If you go to an A&W restaurant, because they make it there, and they make it with cane sugar right there, and nobody ever says, that's just horrible for you, you know. And it's like,
Are you talking about like A&W root beers regularly?
Like yeah. Oh. I'm sorry. A&W and Diet A&W, they do. If you ever go on like YouTube, and every once in a while you look at on Unwrapped on the Food Network, they show how they make it. So it's just kind of interesting how, is soda great for you? No, but I don't drink it all the time. I really don't. It's either literally soda, water, or milk for me. And what I don't understand is, I'm going to have a soda in the morning. There's a guy I know that writes – a bowler that writes for a newspaper, and his morning routine instead of coffee is a 2 liter Diet Dew.
A 2 liter?
2 liter every day.
Oh, my God.
He's like 54, and he's thin, and yeah, and I'm a fatty, and I admit that, but that's probably because I just, honestly, because I probably eat, like, because when I, and Greg knows this, I get off work sometimes 1, 2 in the morning.
It's true. What are your options at 1 in the morning?
Yeah, I don't eat until then, and the way my body is, it's either I eat then, or I don't eat, and I get sick in the morning. And having a 2-year-old, and usually having a 2-year-old during the week, I don't like to get sick in the morning.
Tends to not be not a good combination.
Exactly. So I'll just, and I don't eat much. I really don't eat much. Like, honestly, got Saturday night. Greg can kind of hit you in on what my Saturdays are.
With busy.
The side thing and with the work, and I don't get home, and I don't get to bed till literally. I think the Saturday I got to bed at 3:20 in the morning.
Can you imagine for your crazy ass schedule if Nebraska ever had a home and home with Hawaii?
Oh, I'd be able to watch it.
At 3 in the morning.
last game of the day? Yeah, I'm watching that. Sure, why not?
The way the
Sunday morning post is set up, you kind of got to wait till, you know, everything posts until you can do it. You know, even though it's an 11 a.m. game, you know, you don't get Mike Collin from Chattel or SIP or whoever till like 1, 2 in the morning, so you can't wait to, you know, put that in until they get it out. Once they get it out, yeah, you can do it. But you know, I'm not off work and home until like 1:30. So,
what game was it a couple years back? Was it? It wasn't at UCLA because that was 4 years ago.
Fresno State.
Was that 2 years ago? That was a late game.
Yeah.
Late kickoff. Okay. And the only reason I ask is because of all stupid things, Facebook has that. You know, on this day feature where, you know, post and it was a 9-something kickoff and I'm sitting there at halftime in the picture, you know, I'm wearing my Go Big Red shirt and it's halftime and I'm like, this game needs to be over soon because I'm tired. So I'm glad thanks for the recall on Fresno State.
And you're not as old as I am.
No, but, you know, only John Johnston is. So,
yeah, true.
We love our fearless leader.
We'll see if he's listening because if he hear that he'll get mad at us. mother flippers.
We're not a food or drink podcast, although with the two of us we very easily could be. We're a Husker podcast, and your Nebraska Cornhuskers are 2-0 after a home win. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't a clean game. It was a very close game until the fourth quarter, but coming out and beating, stomping a mud hole in Wyoming Cowboys, walking a drive, 52-17, the final Saturday. And this was a game that I did not sit down to watch until 7 o'clock, something like that night. I worked. First of all, my new hours, and I think I said this last week, my new hours are until 3 o'clock, where I used to get off at noon, so I'd only miss, you know, the first half, something like that. So I worked till 3, so I knew I missed the game. So I, even though I had to watch ESPN app on my phone, I was very busy on Saturday, which is good in the car sales business. So not only did I work till 3, I actually worked past that till about 5 o'clock. Again, good problem to have in sales. Then my wife and son and I went out for a bite to eat, and then we came home. And that's about the time I finally got to sit down, relax, crack open a cold one, and watch the Huskers.
You know, we always said, you know, it was gonna, everybody on prediction said, oh, it's going to be closer than you think. They won't cover, and so on and so forth. And Nebraska covered. You know, it's like last week where it was a fourth, you know, a big time fourth quarter stop by Nebraska. And then everybody's now is all, oh, I don't know. Nothing makes me feel good about this game. Wyoming couldn't run it. Wyoming had a little success in the past. End of the first half, second half, they didn't really, and the interceptions probably make it look a lot busier than it was. But, you know, the one thing I take away from is that Nebraska used the pass to open up the run. And a lot of people make that just, they want to scream about that.
Those darn run the dadgum ball folk.
Well, I mean, every play I saw, Wyoming kept sending linebackers, you know, pass or run. Those two linebackers kept going, you know, kept firing on them. And when you're blocking 7-8 at the point of attack that are coming at you every time. That's one thing, you know. And I thought this. I thought if Tommy was better at the screen game, and we all know he's not very good at the screen game.
No, I thought he was. I thought he played well. Yeah,
at that point, yeah, Saturday he did. But overall, at the screen game, he's not great. He's good. He's not great. It's kind of like Taylor in a way, where if you get him between after like 10 yards, he's way more accurate, and the bullets don't look that fast compared to, you know, like coming at you 5 yards away. It seemed like Wyoming was just going to go hell or high water blitzing and try to make Nebraska, you know, turn the ball over. You know, the one stat that everybody kind of underlooks, Nebraska fumbled it 4 times.
Lost one.
Lost none.
You're right. Lost
none. The only turnover is the
interception.
Stupid ass interception they had in the end zone, which I don't get. You know, live another play, throw it into. You're going to south end zone. Throw it to P Street, dude.
And that's the thing too. I mean, for everything that, and that's it's funny that you mentioned Taylor because that's not a name I thought we'd ever hear again. But yeah, Taylor's bread and butter was like the 8 to 20 yard passes. Anything over 20, and it was just not accurate. And anything, you know, under 8, and he seemed like he, you know, tried to throw it in the ground to make sure it wasn't intercepted. Tommy has the arm for the long pass and has the receiving core to, you know, make the circus catch. He's, you know, lived and died with Jordan Westerkamp, you know, in that for years. But yeah, the screen game, I like the fact that we saw it used, and I like the fact that it we saw it as an improvement to what it has been. With Tommy, it's, you know, typically 2 steps forward, 1 step back, and it's all the skill. And this is, I think people have been saying this about Tommy Armstrong since he got to Lincoln. The ability is there. He has the talent. It's just the decision making, you know, from time to time is mind boggling. You go back to Iowa, and you can go back to, you know, games in previous seasons before that. But yeah, you don't need to, yeah, like I said, throw it away. You don't need to give up points in the red zone, you know, on just a poor decision. If it's, you know, if the ball is deflected at the line, or if Iowa just comes out of nowhere and makes it, or not Iowa, Wyoming comes out of nowhere and makes a terrific play, that's one thing. But that's a game, that's a ball, like you said, he could have thrown it into the stands and you know, saved face a little bit and got another shot to get some points on the board.
I think, you know, I think the big difference that's going to happen next year, whether it's Tanner Lee, whether it's Patrick O'Brien, whether it's Tristan Gavio, whether whoever quarterbacking is the offense right now is kind of capped at what decisions Tommy can make. And that's a fair, that's a fair, you know, statement to make, because if Tommy goes one read and go, or one read and throw, or whatever like that, that hinders the offense and what they can really do. I mean, if he makes the right read ahead, great. He's not going to make that right read first play. You know, I don't think, yeah, it's kind of coming up this week. You know, Nebraska should probably just run it up their ass sideways, you know, cold metal. But
here's the thing about Tommy, and again, not, you know, breaking any, you know, blowing any minds with what I'm about to say, but as far as Tommy the passer, he's better on the run. I think when he gets out of the pocket, he finds more of a comfort zone and is able to, you know, I guarantee you that some of those throws that he's making on the run are still not, you know, first or second read. He's going through everything and trying to find the best play, and he's able to do so because he's extending the play by getting out of the pocket. So I enjoy Tommy on the run, you know, but there were times as well on Saturday where he just needs to tuck the ball and run rather than trying to, you know, throw it before the line of scrimmage. He's got the legs, he's got the ability to do so. Sometimes it's okay just to tuck the ball and get 5-6 yards.
You know, it's funny is everybody complains about those, you know, those quarterback keepers that he's been running, where he goes, shotgun, and he just, you know, it's pretty much suit and body left, suit and body right. Those are not bad plays, you know.
No.
Those are not terrible plays at all. But here's the thing. How many plays like that do you run, knowing that if he gets hurt, you have Riker 5 coming in, who probably is a little better this year, you know, but at the same time, it's still Riker. You know, this is the guy who, you know, kind of lost to Purdue, you know.
Yeah, but at the same time, Riker's touchdown on Saturday was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, I think it was unnecessary, but it is what it is.
Unnecessary to what, you know, as far as like the fear of running up the score?
The way the game's going. I mean, just, yeah, maybe he, you know, maybe he just like, you know what, I'm going deep, screw it. To hell what Danny says.
Well,
fine, whatever, but.
I look at it more, you know, it's your second string quarterback. Why not give him some actual reps regardless of the score? And I don't think Riley's the type of coach to run the score up. I just think it was, you know, this is our second string quarterback. Can you stop him? And in that case, they couldn't. So,
you know, it's the one thing that's kind of interesting to me that I saw today, and I'm looking at Nebraska's notes for the game against Oregon. You know, the coaches really like Divine Ozigbo, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, I really like him. I mean, he's got more carries right now than I want to say Wilbon. I want to say a lot of these guys, but you know, Wilbon and Newby put together. Not Wilbon, Newby put together. Trey Bryant and Marcus Newby put together. He's already got 32 carries. He's averaging, you know, 5 yards a clip. That's not terrible. You know, I think he could have been a little better. You know, and again, the rushing, I think people forget that the passing through put in the rush, opened the rushing up for Nebraska on Wednesday. They were averaging 20 yards of completion. Nebraska was averaging 20 yards of completion on Saturday. That's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
And I know that people, they're averaging 12 yards attempt, which is pretty large. Yeah. Terrell Newby has 15 carries. Trey Bryant has 12 carries. Like Zeebles himself has 32. That's a lot.
I mean, it's 16 carries a game. Yeah. But at the same time, if that's the kind of run attack that you want, run game, you want this more downhill north and south, then yeah, that, you know, that's, you know, that's the guy you want. And again, Newby is talented, and nobody's taking anything away from Terrell Newby. He's just a different type of runner. And be honest with you, I know the line is young, but they've had some problems at times setting the edge. It's a good thing they've got some, you know, experience, you know, receiving core out there, some specialists, because they're helping with some good blocking. Riley's, you know, a good blocker. Alonzo Moore's improved his blocking, and Westerkamp is one of the best, I think, in that perimeter, that outside blocking, you know, to help out the running backs.
I think one thing Nebraska's going to really miss next year is the blocking of Sam Cotton and Seathan Carter.
Carter, yeah. Really? And Carter's another one who, you know, finally got a couple catches. And Cotton is, I guess I'm a little shocked to hear you say such nice things about a Cotton, Brian.
You're never going to hear that again. No, he can block. I mean, he can really kind of.
He's a great blocking tight end.
He is, but, you know, I mean, Seathan's kind of coming to his own with that. But I think we're going to miss, I think you're going to miss that more than you realize next year. That being said, we're going to have a total true H-back and somebody like Ben Miles coming in that will probably, I want to say, revolutionize the offense. There's going to be so many more wrinkles next year that you're not going to see again after this season. So,
after next season or this season?
After the season, you're not going to see a lot of wrinkles on that offense that you're seeing right now. There's going to be a lot more. There's going to be a lot more fullback. I think you're going to have a lot more fullback leads like you did with Jano. I think you're going to have a lot more H-back looks. Kind of like what they're trying to do with Carter, but you can't really do it because Carter's your best wide receiver as far as tight ends go. Unless something changes with recruiting here, and it's possible, I guess, but it's you're gonna if you love this offense, you're gonna see difference next year. If you hate this offense, you see a lot of differences next year as well. So
let me ask you this, since you brought up, you know, a difference in playbook and things like that, is let's say Nebraska is competing for the West, competing for the Big Ten championship, and regardless of bowl game, knowing that there's going to be a pretty sizable overhaul in offensive scheme next year, do they just, you know, put, like, nothing is off the table as far as, you know, what opponents could see, what Iowa could see the day after Thanksgiving, what the again, potential opponent could be in Indianapolis. You know, I mean, everything is a possibility because everything is going to change in the offseason.
I think that kind of codepends on where Nebraska is come to November.
Mm-hmm.
If Nebraska's playing for a Big Ten championship, no, you're not going to want to change everything. Plus, that's not fair to Tommy. Let's say, you know.
No. I meant change everything. I guess what I'm saying is, everything that has been done up to this point, because everything's going to be changed in the off season.
Great question. It depends on who gets the offense. You know, it really does depend on who gets the offense. If it's Patrick, you're going to get somebody that kind of, you know, you're going to get a kind of ease in, a guy that, you know, Patrick can see over everybody. He's not probably as what's the better word? He's not going to be as accurate as Tanner Lee, but the thing Patrick's going to have is he's going to have the ability, you know, the one thing that impressed me when you watched his huddle, he stood in and took hits, and mm-hmm. he just took hits. And he just didn't care. He would throw it. He likes to throw the ball down the field. you know, but a guy like that, he was tall, who could figure it out, can also throw the screen game pretty well.
True.
The thing you have with Tanner is Tanner's a game manager who's going to have, you know, let's not think Tanner's going to like cure like
diabetes.
Diabetes can make a strict diet too. you know, there's a reason he went to Tulane. Okay, there's a reason he went to Tulane, not a Power Five school. Let's realize that first and foremost. Okay. That being said, it really kind of depends on, you know, who does Nebraska get in at receiver? If you get a Joseph Lewis and Jameer Calvin in here, that's a big deal because you replace Brandon Riley and Jordan Westerkamp with two, at least 1-4 and 1-5 star. You have Keyshawn next year. You have, you know, you're bringing in new tight ends next year. Excuse me. You know, and I know we're supposed to be talking about Oregon, but at the same time, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this is going to shake out. You know, spring ball, man, we're going to write so many think pieces on what the offense could be like. It's going to be sick. You think I won't sleep then?
let's go back to this past Saturday and the Wyoming game, because we tend to jump around, which we always have and we always will. The touchdown Wyoming got just before halftime. Did you feel when you watched that, did you feel like it really altered momentum any, or do you think that it actually came? I think that if that's going to happen, it's better to come right at the end of the first half than right at the start of the second half, because you get 15 minutes at halftime to kind of cool down, get your head straight, you know, realign your chakras, or I don't know what the hell they do at halftime. There's going to be two people out there listening who know what the hell I'm talking about, which is great because I don't.
I think the problem was it just came off. I'll look at the play sequence again, but I think it just came off the fact that horrible, and I mean horrible, punt fake.
Yeah, that didn't turn out very well at all.
That came off the horrible punt fake that you're kind of like, what the hell, man? You know, it just kind of funny is it was 17-0, you know, and Nebraska just kicked from the they just kicked and he got down. And I think the problem was Dedrick Young just forced a fumble, right? If I remember right. Dedrick Young forced a fumble. Nobody – and they got it. Josh Allen got it back. He's back in 35. And let's face it, Gentry was pretty good that day. Tanner Gentry was pretty good. And Allen just threw a ball that, you know, the only thing you can do is really kind of tip your hat to him. But then what happened is, you know, you get the dread of, oh, it's going to happen again because Wyoming got the ball right back. And they went down the field. And really, Josh Allen just threw two really bad passes at the 10. And that there's the, you know, there's the punt. Oh, that's right. Then it was 17. Then Lightbourne did the whole stupid, well, I'm a freshman, but I'll do it anyway, you know, thing. I think it just gives, you know, a feeling of not again. You know, if Nebraska had – the biggest thing about the game is Nebraska didn't lose the lead. If they lost the lead, there would have been the definite, oh, crap, there we go, here we go. This is, you know
– You think so?
Last year all over again.
Do you think so?
I think so.
I think that this group, you know, by and large is obviously – a lot of returning starters from last year, a lot of experience, a lot of veteran leadership. I think that had they lost the lead, I still think they rally and win. And that, take the fourth quarter away, or at least take part of the fourth quarter away, because Allen, right? Allen, the, is that right?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yeah. He had just an abysmal fourth quarter, which we'll get to. But I think that there was enough, you know, Tommy's not, you know, from what I see, I mean, he's not a big, you know, cheerleader type of leader. I mean, he's going to get out there, and I think he's, despite his flaws in decision-making, I think he does bring a calming effect to the team. Plus, you got Jordan Westerkamp, you know, you've got Seathan Carter, you've got some guys on defense who I think, even if they would have gotten down, I still think that there's enough maturity on this team that they would have risen above it and come back and got the W. Obviously, it didn't play out that way. They never lost the lead, as you said, and as we know. But I just think that I don't think this is the same team, and I don't think they're going to fall into those same traps like they did a year ago.
You know, what's funny is this has probably led to the third quarter that we had. Nebraska had four penalties in that third quarter alone for 50 plus yards. And they couldn't run. And I mean, you're shooting yourself in the foot, kind of, when it comes to that. But then, you know, again, first drive of the fourth quarter is when Nebraska hits the big old strike with Westerkamp,
which was pretty.
You know, let's think about this. Within it was, you had the Westerkamp catch, you had the touchback by Drew Brown. And then you had the backwards pass, which I didn't think was a backwards pass, but
I did. I think it was close, but
it was one of those things that if you call it a certain way, there's probably no way you're going to get it reversed.
True. One of the and again, kudos to I believe it was your buddy DeZuris who picked up the loose ball, having not heard a whistle, and tried to make something happen with it. Got it down to, you know, like the 1 yard line or something like that. But yeah, in looking at that, and I know the announcers, I think they were about 10 yards off, but I think it was like I think he threw it from the 18 and it went to like the 17 or 17 and a half. It wasn't off by much, but I think, and I think the announcers made note of this, the backwards momentum of Allen carried the ball ever so slightly.
And then Zigbo scores on the play, makes it 38-17. They kick off, touchback, incomplete pass. Next play is the Jerry interception where he got the unsportsmanlike. And then.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
One, two. There's nothing to talk about. He shouldn't have done it. I mean, I'm not, you know, the bullshit argument is, oh, if he's got to be a leader, he can't be doing stuff like, you know what? The guy just got ejected out of two games for the most bullshit targeting rules ever known to mankind. Plus, he lost the game against Fresno State for whatever he did. You know what? If that's the worst thing Nate Jerry does on a field, and he gets an unsportsmanlike conduct call, I mean, you can argue that it should have been one on Allen for launching it right back in his head, but somehow somebody that got missed.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should have been offsetting. That being said, I think the announcers made a good point when talking about Nate Gary, and that was, you know what, they said, and I'm paraphrasing, but they said, you know, the young man better watch it. He hasn't played a complete game since before Thanksgiving. You know, you think of Iowa and the UCLA game and the targeting, and then, like you said, missing the Fresno game. That's definitely not something that they could disqualify a player for, but it was a little it was a shot. I mean, I'm not defending it. I'm not admonishing it. I actually got a chuckle out of it. But that was, you know, that was a young man taking advantage of the fact that the opposing quarterback just had you know, the wheels had fallen off and he had made, you know, several bad decisions. And it's not like, you know, our defenders made great plays. It was that our defenders were the only one in the area to make a play.
Yeah. Another, you know, one thing is about that next to last drive where they got the ball back on the Nathan Gary, unsportsmanlike. Armstrong rush for 11. Oz up for 4. Pearson rush for 5. Oz rush up for 4. First down. Incomplete pass. Oz up from middle for 9. Left tackle, Oz for 2, first down. Armstrong rush over left end for 2 yards. But, remember, unsportsmanlike conduct because the one Wyoming dude, I think his name was Wacha. Yeah,
oh, Wacha. Wacha. That's Michael Wacha, pitcher for the Cardinals. That's his younger brother.
Well, that explains why he's dumb. Anyway.
are you still salty?
I am. Anyway, stupid unsportsmanlike conduct.
Haunt your dream.
One run and then finish off the drive, hitting Westerkamp on the short and having him dive in, you know. So,
and how about Tommy being the new, you know, leader, breaking a school record for touchdown passes thrown?
My statement is the same as it was with Taylor. Own all the records you want, just win a damn conference title.
Fair enough. I mean,
and I don't think that's unfair. I don't.
No, no. I think, you know, and I think we get the leadership speech out of Tommy, you know, probably similar to what Taylor said is, and what most, you know, I think
he likes playing against away games.
No, that's a good pull. Hadn't heard that in a while. About, you know, individual accolades, you know, don't mean near as much as, you know, team accomplishments. So I think if you ask Tommy what's more important, setting a school record in touchdown passes or you know, winning the Big Ten championship, no-brainer what kind of answer you're going to get. This looks nice on paper, and it'll probably stand until the next quarterback because that's the kind of offense that they're going to go to. It's just progressive. I mean, the days of running the ball 75 times are over, and, you know, that was – like, you know, I don't want to say regime, but that was a different philosophy than what we've had in the last, you know, 5-10 years. So obviously the athletes that we have now are going to put up, you know, more numbers.
What's funny is the running, the passing split was 43 to 35. Okay. So yeah. Lane Starfer said what, 60-40 he wants? That's probably a little more like 65-35, but.
You said 43 and 35?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Do the math.
I'm going to.
Greg Mahochko got a C+ in algebra, I bet.
You'd be surprised how inaccurate that is.
B-. That's minus.
55-45.
Yeah, close enough. And really,
and I needed a calculator.
Roughly for the last drive, it was 50-50, but that's where everybody, you know, hands get up. All right, we ran more. Well, like I said, watch the game. You can watch 6 guys heading towards crash into the line all the time. And, you know, perfect example, Alonzo Moore's touchdown, okay, where, again, 6 guys were running, they actually got it blocked, and Alonzo could have built a house with a Super Mario Brothers moat in the middle. Okay.
Where the hell did that reference come from?
And his 4.640 speed, bless his heart, was enough to split safeties to the end zone.
So, I mean, come on now, man.
He's not fast, but he's fast enough. Now, I will say this.
I like his size, though.
One thing I will say on
and,
this.
And he's got the intangibles.
Intangibles, yeah. Gritty. Okay. One thing I'll say is this. The one thing that worries me, if I'm a Nebraska fan, the 70 yards that Austin Conway gained on three rushes. Why? They're all Jets.
Yeah. And what does Oregon like to do?
They like to run speed. Well, here's the thing. You take Austin Conway 70 yards away, and they didn't. And
I don't think they ran for 100 yards, did they?
They ran for 90 rushes on 28 attempts.
And that's unfortunate for their Brian Hill, I think.
He was 17 for 49.
Well, but he came in, you know, after that Northern Illinois game. I think it was Northern Illinois. But came in and you know, they were saying, oh, he's a dynamic, and I'm not taking anything away from him. I, you know, wish him well the rest of the season. His actions no longer affect us, really. But kudos to Nebraska's defense, because, you know, if he was coming in and he was supposed to be this, you know, amazing back, well, the defense, I thought, did a really good job. And that's even before we get to all the interceptions in the pick party fourth quarter. I just thought the defense played pretty well. Had a few breakdowns here and there, like you said, on the sweeps. But I've got confidence. I've got confidence this weekend. There was a stat, I believe it was a link to a tweet that was shared around the Corn Nation Slack chat room, chat message board, whatever the hell you want to call it.
If the person that's listening to this invented Slack, thank you.
Yeah, it's not
a great time waster. It's also a great communication tool. I just want to say that if you haven't tried Slack for your company, you should.
It's a really good time waster too. But the tweet said something about how the Virginia backs, not including the quarterback, averaged something like 7 yards a carry against Oregon.
Ah, yes, I put that in. If they weren't a quarterback, they averaged 7.6 yards.
Yeah,
a carry.
So I think that should be a pretty telling tale if I'm Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf about how this weekend's offensive game plan should look. And hashtag run the dadgum ball.
Oh, shut up.
Don't you tell me to shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
Hey now. Hey. This is a family-friendly podcast, you bastard.
Sure. I'm sure it is. kids, don't say that word.
Yeah, don't say bastard.
But if you use it in proper sentence.
And make sure you send it to Brian at Brian R. Toll on Twitter.
Yes, because I've already told my wife, if my kid says the word fuck, the first thing I'm going to ask the teacher. Yes, if my kid does use that word, the first question I'm going to ask the teacher is, was the proper context used?
You know, we're going to have a this is going to happen, and we're both going to participate. And it's going to be the Five Heart Podcast Swear Jar. $1 a swear. Proceeds go to the Team Jack.
I'm going to throw $50 in there. You can just tell me what I have left.
I know you have one from last week. I remember that.
Now, you know what the funny thing is? My wife's a teacher. You know, and Greg knows, my wife's a teacher.
Mm-hmm. She's a lovely lady. I don't know why she ever decided to marry you.
I don't either.
But that's all right, because I don't know why my wife decided to marry me either.
But you know, my wife's going to be the one that has to feel that phone call.
Yep.
You know what your daughter did? You know what your... And I'm going to get the phone call, and I'm going to ask, did they use it right? That's all I want to know. Did they use it right? If they used it right, then what's the big deal?
I'm going to say this, and this is not Husker football related at all. Years ago, before my wife and I had a son, she joked, we were driving home, we were about 5 minutes from home. She said, you know, when our child, boy, girl, didn't matter, when our child's a few years old, I'm going to teach him her to go up and just once and just be like, Daddy, you're a douche. And I thought about, like, well, why would you do that? You know, because, like, why would you tell our child to call me a douche? And she said, I just think it'd be funny just once. I'd be like, yeah, but it's not just going to be once. You know, and there's that whole, you know, like, if the kid sees a reaction, obviously they're going to be more likely to repeat the behavior, et cetera, et cetera. So, on that particular night, I opted to sleep on the couch.
Man, The only thing I'm good about Emerson, I'm glad I'm not throwing a bowling ball anymore, or at least right now, at least.
Oh.
The swear jar gets a little heavy during bowling season.
Buddy, you don't know. Oh, you don't know. Swear jar, cracked bowling balls going down the parking lot jar.
All right, so let's get back on topic.
This is what my one friend told me about me bowling. You ever seen the Disney cartoon where you got Goofy? He's coming out of the house and he's really happy, and he's all happy and everything. Hello, everybody! You know.
Were these like the were they narrated by that one Professor Duck? Like these back they like in our subject here.
Yeah. And then he gets in the car, okay, and he turns the car on and then becomes this road raging, incoherent, F bombing jackass.
I don't remember the F bombs in the Goofy Disney commercials, no.
No, it's not a commercial. It's a cartoon,
you know what I mean. Let me rephrase. I don't remember F bombs in the Goofy Disney cartoons.
And I guess I was told that's what I am when I'm throwing a ball. And that's what it is on that. I don't throw anymore. So,
that's plausible.
One thing I think Nebraska really needs to worry about on defense, and yeah, we've talked about the jet, but I think, and I've harped on this, maybe people don't agree with it, but, you know, is what it is. I think Nebraska needs to worry about getting off the field on third down. 2 for 10 was Wyoming against that. You don't want Oregon running play after play after play after play after play with the same personnel because they can just squash you. And you don't have to – they don't have to sub out. They don't have to do anything. They just run this – it doesn't matter if it's the same play. It's a package of five plays or whatever. Nebraska is going to be worn down. And, you know, Nebraska is going to win the time of possession. And that's just what – the way Oregon plays. But they're going to – you know, they can win the lose time of possession, run 100 plays, and still beat you 55-20. That's the big deal. That's the big deal. And also that when Nebraska has the ball, they get the 5, 6, 7 minute drives. They don't have to have the 17 play, 11 minute Bill Parcells slobber knocker rub dirt on it drive here, but they got to give their defense time to, you know, figure what's going on. Yeah. Especially a guy like Banker, who's been owned by this offense. Granted, he's got better toys now. He's got
But it's not the same offense. I mean, people. I think part of the misconception. I mean, they're ranked, I think, 22nd, the Oregon Ducks, but no Chip Kelly and no Scott Frost. This is not the same Ducks unit that put Marcus Mariota into the NFL. And
the skeleton's still there. I think that's what the thing that worries about. The skeleton's still there. Okay, and if that's the case, then. It's gonna bug Nebraska. Now they can run out of this. I think that's the big thing that Nebraska has for them. That front four can stop the run. You know, everybody's gonna have a guy like Dedrick Young, like Bando. He's gonna have to have a big game. Newbie's the guy, one of the guys, the fastest guy, linebacker, I think, that can help out. But you know, Nebraska's spent a lot of time in nickel in this game, just because of the way Oregon likes to set up for wide, five wide. So
let's talk a little bit about what we can expect on Saturday. Again, number 22. This is going to be, I think, Nebraska's first actual challenge of the year. And what can we expect? Because I'm pulling it up because I'm trying to find out what time kickoff is.
2:30. You bad fan.
You bad fan. I'm sorry, Brian.
I don't like your attitude, sir.
I don't like my attitude either. Yeah, I've got a kid cutting teeth. I'll punch you in the mouth.
Would you?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm a sweetheart. You know that.
You bold-faced liar.
Sure.
This is the same man who... Oh, he will drink my beer recommendations, so it is what it is on that.
Shut up.
I've seen No Sit Saturday come out, and I'm like, first off, I'm like, man, that's a.
Do you think it's too early for No Sit Saturday? Let's face it. First of all, we're at Memorial Stadium, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, but we're at Memorial Stadium where there are a lot of fans who like to sit.
I think the problem is let's be careful about investing too much in this game. If you lose this game, I don't really want to make this comparison because some of the little bitchy heads are going to be pledged out of it. It's like Callahan's. Remember when Callahan played USC? And we had this whole thing invested in it, and we just got our asses kicked. And that just took – the next week was against Ball State, where it was literally a five-freaking-hour game. And then, just the tumble came, and the tumble came. This is a house money game, okay? This is a game where if you win, great. If not, fine.
Yeah, because you're not expected. I mean, they're coming in – even though they're home and they are receiving some – votes in the polls, they are still the underdog because I think a lot of the national media is still looking at this as the Nebraska team of the last, few years who's going to struggle to win big games.
It's not even that. It's that, but the way I look at it is this. You still have 9 games in the Big Ten to worry about against teams that don't do this, okay? You still have your 6 games against divisions. You still have to go to Ohio State. You still have Maryland coming into – you still have teams that, you win the – you lose this – everybody will lose this if you win 8 of the next 9. Mm-hmm. Everybody will take that because that means you're going to Indianapolis. That means you're – everybody wants to get to Indianapolis. The goal is Indianapolis with this team. I don't know how big the window is there next year because everybody wants to say, next year, Iowa loses C.J. Beathard. Yeah, well, we lose Tommy Armstrong. So, realize if we don't win this game, it's okay. It's okay.
Look at this. This is Brian Toll, folks, and he's talking you off the ledge before kickoff. I mean, it's okay.
I mean, if Nebraska loses close, yeah, understand, I understand. There's still a Big Ten season to play.
But I think it matters too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like you said, you mentioned just now losing close. You can't lose and get blown out at home. You can't lose by 35 points. You probably can't lose by 21 points. You got to make it a competitive game. But at the same time, I'm going to approach my fandom, through the game. We're just two good old football programs ready to throw down. And I'm going to pull the proverbial upset here. Because they're likely the underdog. I haven't seen the spreads, but I'm going to say Nebraska's going to get the dub.
Well, you're supposed to do that Friday, jerk. So.
Well, that's okay because this is getting published Friday after.
Before the predictions.
Okay, fine. But do you think people are going to listen to this first or read the predictions first?
Yes.
Okay. They'll do it simultaneously. And they'll get right to this point, right when they're reading my prediction, and they'll be like, huh. He really does believe in the Huskers because I'm hearing it and reading it at the same time. That's how you retain stuff, folks. You get it from multiple avenues. All right, are we done?
God, I hope so.
Let me see if I can pull a Big Red Copcast. How are my levels? Are my levels too low? I love those guys.
Quit being mean, dirt dude. Come on. Dude.
I just said I love those guys. How's that being mean?
Meaning.
All right. Bob and Pat and Ryan and Joe and Mike, those are good guys. I enjoy the Big Red Copcast. And I think, folks, if you're not listening to the Big Red Copcast, you should. It's also available on iTunes and on coronation.com.
Yes, listen to them.
Yes.
They're good guys.
How many SB Nation sites out there have one podcast, let alone two?
I bet all of them have one podcast.
I bet not. I don't think the Champagne Room does.
They're weird, but whatever.
I see, because I'm in Illinois, I see a few Champagne Room links pop up on Facebook from time to time, and I'll go click over there and give them a read just to see what's going on, 2 miles or 2 hours north.
Who has their own mascot?
That's a broken-hearted question in the state.
315 sites in SB Nation, and none of them have a mascot like Cobby.
Oh, see, I thought you were talking about Chief Alinowick.
No, I'm talking about Cobby.
Okay. Yeah. 315. That's right. SB Nation, 315. I'm officially on board on 3 of them now. Four. I take that back. Four. There's Coronation that I actually contribute on, but Viva Alberto's, which is the St. Louis Cardinals. And then there's St. Louis Game Time, which is St. Louis Blues. And then there is the Steelers.
The Rams.
No, the Steelers one, which I can't even remember it now. That's how often I look. And a lot of these people is like the same one or two contributors, which I love about Coronation because we have such a vast array of talent. So Coronation.com. You know,
the Texas Rangers one.
Did they?
The Lone Star Ball one, Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
They have like four guys total. And I'm like, oh my God, how could you do it with only four?
I don't know. That would be like you and John and Jill and Ty. Because somebody's got to cover women's volleyball. And I think that that's Ty.
We have Mike.
Mike. And like I said, we have Pat. And we got. I was looking, this is serious because I was looking on the power pole.
Pat Jansen's a really good writer, actually.
He is. But I was looking at the power poll that we all fill out, you know, every Monday, and I looked, I'm like, we really do have like 15, 16 contributors. It's ridiculous because we all care.
We got to get Salt back going.
Well, he just got married. Congratulations, by the way, to our friend Salt on his Lake Michigan area wedding. It wasn't Lake Michigan, but it was in Michigan on one of the lakes or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but we
now he's back. Now he's back home, and he's husbanding and homebrewing. That's what.
In Georgia,
man. Yeah, no, poor kid. Poor kid in SEC country.
I'd live in Georgia if I could.
I don't know.
If I wasn't watching Nebraska football like it was, I'd probably move further south. I'd go to like Tennessee.
I'll tell you what, and this is, you know, have you heard of cutthecable.com or whatever? It's a way to try to get out from your cable or satellite services.
And that's, I was like, looking renewed, sure.
I was looking on PlayStation View, and they offer Big Ten Network. So that gets me one step closer to cutting the cable.
I just renewed, so.
What are you thinking? You probably got Comcast, too, like a...
I have DirecTV.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? DirecTV is not treating me bad. You know, I've had DirecTV... Yeah, I got to be honest. Time Warner can't suck enough.
No, they're horrible. They really are.
Here's the thing with Time Warner. Here's what killed me with Time Warner. So we had their internet, right? And their internet's not bad. I can't say that. But there's one night where it got really cold here in Dallas.
And what I mean really, the wires froze.
What I mean really cold?
42 degrees.
30. He got the 30.
That's, you know, I'd still wear shorts at 30 degrees.
Yeah. The problem with this is the wind still kicks, so... It bothers you a little bit. But anyway, you got 28, 29 degrees, whatever. Internet stopped working. Now, I wouldn't say much, but it was like the fourth time of the day. I'm like, what the hell? So I call Time Warner, and of course I wait. Finally talk to the lady. The lady looks at me. I kid you not. The lady goes, well, sir, it may have a hard time working in that kind of a cold environment. And I'm kind of like, you know, I had you in Lincoln when it was like negative 23 trillion.
That is, holy cow, that's lower than absolute zero.
And it is. And
which is like negative 273 Kelvin if high school chemistry is fresh on the mind.
If it worked that cold and with a foot of snow constantly on the ground in Lincoln, how is it too cold here? Well, it's just too cold. And I'm like, can I cancel now? I even went, you know what I went? I went to DSL with AT&T for a year before I got U-verse.
Oh, AT&T U-verse is the worst.
What?
I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm where I'm at in the St. Louis Metro East area. I got Charter Spectrum, and I have 100 meg internets, brah. Yeah. Come at me, bro.
I wonder if it's just because AT&T is like this horrible. Is the home base, and we all get the
good horrible.
It's so horrible. So shut the frig up.
Yeah. You don't want to put another. Well, all right. We had a question. As we were being, submitting questions. And the question was, as I find it here, how, this is from B. Smith. Do you know B. Smith? I don't know B. Smith.
I've talked to him once in a while.
All right. B. Smith on Twitter wants to know, how would you like your smoked duck on Saturday? Hashtag beat ducks? Oregon.
Hmm? How many people smoke ducks? Actually, just physically smoke them.
I'm sure it happens. Why? If you can smoke a chicken and you can smoke a turkey, why can't you smoke a duck, brah?
Because it's... Here's why I look at that. No. You're weird. Anyway.
I know.
No, but I'm really kind of all about cleanliness and the smoker. Because it sounds dumb, but I still think, you know, you got pork fat, you got beef fat, you know, all rolling down the hill there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you get duck fat, and duck fat gets yeah, you can cook it, but you still got to clean it. You know, I'm big about cleaning it just because.
Is duck fat harder to clean than not duck fat?
I would think so.
I mean, I don't know. I've never had duck, so.
I had it one time in, oddly enough, a Chinese dish, you know.
Fair enough. Duck l'orange. No, that's French. Duck l'orange is French.
Yeah. I had, like, duck fried rice. And it was okay. I mean, nothing I was like. The one thing I never liked, honestly, sounds bad, but deer.
See, I'll do some deer sausage, jerky.
There was this guy I bowled with a long, long time ago back in Lincoln, and he always made deer sausage and deer, you know, jerky and everything like that. And maybe just because the way he put it was hot as ever left and get out. It was just the hottest stuff you could ever eat in your life. Like he made these sticks and you took two bites and you're just like, give me some sour cream, man. It is brutal. So
let me follow up with this question again to B. Smith. When you ask, how would you like your smoked duck Saturday? You've pretty well answered. Like apparently, my option is smoked.
Maybe he just wants it ground up a little bit on the ground.
I don't. The better question is, how do you want your duck prepared on Saturday? In that case, smoked will work, or deep fried. I bet deep fried waterfowl is tough as hell to do. But my story was going to be like, we moved recently, so we've got a new grocery store, and no lie, I haven't seen duck yet, but I did see about inch and a half thick lamb chops, and I've had lamb, but I've never cooked it. And at $19 a pop, I ain't gonna be cooking no damn lamb for a while. I'm gonna have to get the lottery before I buy some lamb, because that's an expensive meal to mess up. So, with that being said, I'll take my duck skewered. How's that? Yeah. We'll skewer the ducks on Saturday.
This I've had lamb once.
Yeah.
I can't tell you where. You get jealous.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where. I had it at Rare Steakhouse in Mount Vernon, Illinois, which, by the way, if you're ever passing through that area, it's a great little place. It's like a high – if you know where Mount Vernon, Illinois is, you'd be like, they shouldn't have a restaurant this nice because it's Mount Vernon and they don't deserve it. But it's got good management. They've got good food. You pay – kind of the price you'd expect to pay at a bigger city. When my wife and I went there first time, we dropped $120, you know, something like that for the two of us. So, but you pay, I'll tell you what, it's the only restaurant I've ever been to in my 34 years where they actually asked after my meal if I wanted coffee. And then they asked if I wanted to put anything in it. I'm like, yeah, can you make it Irish? And sure enough, bam. Irish coffee.
You know where in Lincoln you could do that, but it's not open anymore.
Well, that doesn't help me out at all.
Well, sorry.
No. But why would you get my hopes up for next time I'm in Lincoln?
There used to be this place on 27th and Highway 2 called the Jack Shack.
The Jack Shack. Sorry, Jack continue.
The only thing I remember is they had two things. There was a steakhouse and it had it was lit up like a street lamp, you know, like nice. It wasn't. Like, you can barely see what you're doing. But they did two things really well. They did sautéed mushrooms, because we stole the recipe. than I did. But then they always asked everybody, would you like a cup of coffee, you know, after you're done? And I'm kind of – it was complimentary, if I remember right. I might be wrong. But they always ask me, and I'm like, I'm 15. I don't need it. It's 9 o'clock at night. I want to go home, go to bed.
Oh, so it was like 35 years ago?
Insufferable prick. No, it was like 25 years ago.
Sorry. My math was wrong.
C minus in algebra.
I didn't have the calculator out for that one. Let's call it. It's been fun. Episode 3, ladies and gentlemen, of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation. For my good friend, I promise we get along quite well. For my good friend and broadcast partner, Brian Toll, my name is Greg Mahochko. Go Big Red, and remember, this is the Five Heart Podcast. Five hearts is all the heart you need.
This has been a production of Coronation.com. For more, like Coronation on Facebook. Follow Coronation on Twitter and bookmark coronation.com in your favorite browser.